throughout the service to a place of decision whether we've been in this relationship with Christ for a few days, a few months, a few years, or maybe your seemingly whole life. We need refreshed. We need a fresh encounter with Him. We need a fresh stirring in our spirit. If you don't know Christ, I want to remind you that our altars are always open. We use these steps up here as an altar. So far, we've sang about heaven in this service, our destination. We've sang about surrender. That's our duty. We've sang about the blood. That's what works. And now I feel compelled and have felt this week to preach tonight upon the coming of the Lord. I feel a stirring in my spirit and have since this week. I was awakened in the early morning hours one of these past days from a dream that I had that was so vivid about the coming of Christ. And I was there with certain of my friends that I have grown up with who are not serving the Lord. And in that dream, I saw the callousness, and I saw the lack of fear of the Lord in some of their lives. But I also saw that there was a few that was trying to get things right. And I know, church, that we live in a generation that seems so lackadaisical and so blinded by the enemy of this world and by the sin that is prevalent in this world. But I want to remind us as the church that there is a group of people that the Lord is still sending His church after. There's a group of people that the blood of Christ is reaching for that have known God or maybe have never known God. But even tonight, the Spirit of the Lord is reaching out to a lost soul. Even tonight, if you have known the Spirit of God, if you've had a relationship and have walked away, the Spirit of God in His grace and mercy is reaching out to you tonight. Why? Because His coming is soon and He is preparing a harvest of souls. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ still works. I'm thankful tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses. I'm thankful tonight that the blood of Christ washes away the guilt, the condemnation, the shame. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that the blood of Christ is available to anyone and everyone that would ask. I'm thankful tonight for Jesus Christ. I'm thankful tonight that no matter who we are, where we've been, or what we've done, the blood is still able to cleanse us from all sin. What does His word say? His grace is greater than all of our sins. It is amazing to me that no matter where we are from, our creed, our nationality, our gender, our social status, God is a great God of mercy. And tonight He is reaching out to you right where you're at, right here tonight, to let you know that He is in love with you, that He cares about you. The blood tonight is prevalent and available for anyone who would receive it. I want to preach tonight out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. We'll begin reading in verse 32. Oh, Lamb of God, have your way tonight. Church, I'd like to ask us if we could just stop right now and let's pray. I feel the struggle of warfare in the house tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, have your way. Your word will never return void. I am thankful tonight for the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm thankful for the power of the blood. Oh, I'm thankful, Jesus, for the strength of the cross. I'm thankful tonight for the power of You, Jesus. I love You tonight. And I pray that You would minister to every heart, every life, every individual, oh God. Call us to a place of repentance and renewal. Oh, let us leave this house changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to begin reading in verse 32. Oh, Spirit of the living God. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want us to put our attention onto a few things in this passage of Scripture. Notice here two words that I think are extremely important and vital to every believer, and even those tonight who may not know Christ. It is vital that you do this thing. You watch and you look. You watch and you look. Last time I preached, I preached on keep standing. Tonight I feel compelled to preach on keep watching. Keep watching. Church, the Lord is coming soon. Now, this is not a theological debate. I'm not here to debate tonight on pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, or anything like that. I just want to remind you that when he comes, we better be ready, no matter when it is. We better have our hearts and our house in order. And I am thankful tonight for a God who has given us the blessing and the opportunity to know him. And tonight, if you don't, I want to remind you that God in heaven has provided you an opportunity to get delivered from sin and to get your heart ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for praying with us before we read the word. Keep watching. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Hallelujah. That day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor are we of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us watch and be in our right mind. Let us watch and be aware of what is happening around us, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or we sleep, or whether we live or die, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Whether we are close to this passing of body in this temporal life, or whether we are alive and well today, if we are believers, we have a hope that surpasses all understanding. We have a hope that cannot be bought by any monetary gain. We have a hope that cannot be just given out to anyone. We have a hope that can only be obtained by those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is amazing to me the fear that has begun to grip the hearts of believers in this life. It is amazing to me how that the writer of the book of 1 Thessalonians said, "Have no fear, have hope, be encouraged, for ye know not what hour the Lord comes," but that doesn't matter because we know that His coming is soon and we're going to be with Him. We're going with Jesus when He comes, whether that be tonight, tomorrow, a month from now, or whenever Christ does return. The believer will be with Christ. Now here is our charge tonight, church, and what is really pushing upon my heart. Are we watching and preparing our hearts as good servants of the Lord ought to do? Are we ready tonight? Should the Lord Himself descend from heaven tonight with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, if we were to hear that tonight, would we be ready for the return of Christ? Would you be ready tonight? Would your children be ready? Would your spouse be ready? Is your house in order? Are we watching? Are we having our hearts directed towards the return of God? Amen. Tonight I'm thankful to know that we can be ready. I love the fact that He talks about Noah. Noah did something so amazing and yet so very odd for his time. He prepared an ark when there was no need to prepare an ark. Do we realize that? For the amount of time that Noah was building the ark, he preached to those around him that there was coming judgment, that there was going to be a flood, that there was going to be destruction, that God had told him by His word, "I will destroy this earth, I will send a flood." And he preached and he labored, and yet there was no rain. There was never a sign that that promise would be fulfilled. And yet Noah continued to build. And yet we in this generation can look around the climate that we're living in and see sign after sign after sign after sign that the Lord's coming is soon. Earlier in the chapter, in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord lays out detail after detail of things that you will see that will come to pass before the Lord will return. You shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. Men shall hate you. They will be easily offended. Hey, do we not live in this generation? Can we not see the signs that are all around us? Are we not easily blinded by this world? Can we not see that the climate of the Lord's return is nearer than it has ever been? The reality is that we are literally living in the generation of the story, the parable that He gave about the Lord and His servants. He said the Lord will put a good servant at His house and he will be ready to receive that abundance of harvest. And when he gets there, the servant will be ready for him. That's the believer. The Lord has placed us in the world to be a light and a witness, to reach out to the world around them for Jesus Christ. But we are also living in the opposite of that. That those evil servants that have turned from God, that do not love God, those who are sinners, that have no concept or even desire to do the will of God, the Lord is still coming. He is coming at the same time. And yet the Bible said it was an hour that you think not. Isn't it amazing how it seems that idea that, well, it's going to happen, but it's not going to be today. I'll get ready tomorrow. I'll do my work tomorrow. I'll get my house in order tomorrow. I'll surrender my life tomorrow. I'll make better decisions tomorrow. I'll stop sinning tomorrow. It's always pushed on away from today. But the Bible said no man knoweth the hour. No man knows the day. No man knows that it could very well be 8:09 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on June the 3rd, 2012. That's in 1 minute, church. 1 minute. It could be in 1 minute the return of God. Would you be ready if He was to return Would you be ready? It's a question that only you can answer. I can't answer for you. I can't judge whether or not you'll be ready. But I do know this, the Lord of the harvest knows who his servants are. I want to remind us tonight of some things that Noah did that I believe we ought to pattern our lives after in this last day. Amen. Noah proclaimed the truth. Noah proclaimed the truth. God said it's going to rain. Build an ark. He gave him the dimensions. He gave him the layout. He gave him the specific type of wood. And he laid out the plan. And he said, Noah, start preaching. We forget that at this time, the Bible literally describes that the whole world was continually upon evil. And yet here's one man, a righteous man, a man that's a leader of his home, a man that is close to God and walks with God, that knows him, is in a relationship with God. And he decides to be obedient. And by being obedient, he begins to proclaim the truth of the word that God has spoken. And never converted a single person outside of his family. Imagine for the length of time that you and I have been in ministry. I was thinking about this today. I have been preaching the Word of God now for 11 years, and it has been a wonderful journey. And I thankfully have seen folks come to God in the midst of preaching, and I'm so thankful for that. And yet Noah, for year after year after year, never saw a convert. Never had an additional helper on the ark except for his family, and he still proclaimed the truth. Church, if we allow numbers to dictate what we believe and what we proclaim to be the word of God, we will always falter. God's word is still true. It is still alive and well today. And when proclaimed, it will still penetrate the hardest of hearts. The word of God must be proclaimed in the last days by folks who have been with God to hear his word. He knows that the hour is soon, and we, the children of God, must proclaim the truth of God's word. We must stand for the righteousness of God's word. We cannot change in this hour. We cannot falter in this hour. We cannot afford to give up, relax, or throw in the towel. It is time to continue to watch for God's return. And we do that by holding to the truth of God's word. We do that by continuing to live the way that God has taught us to live. Noah never changed. He never quit. He continued to build the ark. And the Bible says that it was to the saving of his household. Mom and Dad, listen tonight. If you want your children to be ready, then you must hold on to the truth of the Word of God. You are the one that will prepare your house for the return of God. And we must hold to the truth. Hallelujah. Noah led his family to safety. The father in the home led his wife and children to safety. He knew that in obedience to God's word, the Lord would never lie. And by being obedient, it saved his house. Beloved, listen, we must hold to the truth of God's word if we are to see our home saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, this ought to be something that burns in the heart of every parent and every adult in our churches. Listen, there are so many other voices out there, but you have the loudest of voices. You have the voice that will go deeper. You have the touch of love that will satisfy the child's heart. And if you will lead them to God, they will not stray. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. We must proclaim the truth. We must proclaim the truth. And we must make time for preparation. Time for preparation. Noah did not build the ark in a day. And God was patient and waited for Noah to build the ark, get the animals in order, leave the door open for whoever would come in. But when God said it was time, Noah went in, and the Lord shut the ark door. Church, God has given us by his wonderful patience time to prepare our hearts. We often confuse his delaying for never coming and not his graciousness for giving us time to get ready. Young people, hear me. God is not being gracious so that we can continue to live the way we want to live. He is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. We must be reminded tonight that a time for preparation is not a time for pleasure or for play. It is a time to make our hearts ready. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Tonight, if you are not a believer, you must be reminded that God has been waiting for you. He has got the door of salvation, the ark of safety, the blood of Christ ready. Jesus the Savior wanting to give you the safety that you need. He's ready. He's ready. Are you watching? Are we preparing our hearts? I love here, and I'm not, I'm just getting older and I'm starting to see the Word of God differently. When it talks about the goodman of the house, had he known, Brother Aaron, what time the thief was coming, he would have been watching, and the thief would not have busted up the house. You want to know what that means? He's got the 12-gauge ready by the door. You step foot in my house to hurt my little girl and my wife, we're going to have issues. Because the robber doesn't come in where the dad of the home or the mom of the home are ready to protect the home. God is reminding us that if we will continue to watch, there is nothing the enemy can do. There is nothing that he can bring against the church that will destroy or will thwart the plan of God. He knows that if we will be watching and ready, the Holy Spirit will equip our hearts for battle because God is coming soon. He's getting his house in order. He's getting the people ready. And tonight, if we will get our hearts prepared for the return of God, is it just another movie or is it something that could divide the home? Is it just another game or is it something that could pervert the mind? Is it just another activity or just another location or is it an attack of the enemy? Church, we must have our hearts prepared for his coming. It maybe isn't just another boyfriend. It maybe isn't just another friend. It could literally be the attack of the enemy that destroys the home, destroys the child, destroys the spouse. It is an attack front line, but God has given us the ability to watch and be ready. Church, as Noah prepared the ark, we must also prepare our hearts for the return of Christ. I don't know about you, but does it not scare anyone else to think that you just might not be ready? Does it not ever cross our minds that there may come a day that we will not have our hearts prepared and that God could return? We joke about it, but I remember that feeling as a child waking up and you know, mom and dad maybe weren't there or I had just napped past time and I was confused and all of a sudden that thought came to me, oh man, I'm the last one here. I got left behind. I'd call grandma. I'd look, you know, I'd do all sorts of things. I'd call the church sometimes and see if anybody picked up and hang up. But you know, I mean, you got to make sure you're ready. Do we not have fear today of the Lord's return? I'm not talking about a fear that we are in the corner trembling. I'm talking about a holy fear that says, God, when you're ready to come, I'm ready to go with you. Oh, church. I remember when this thought used to be on my heart a lot more than it has in recent times. I wonder, Brother Leitner, when it said, because iniquity abound, the love of many will wax cold. And I always thought that meant that because sin was so prevalent, folks would just start backsliding. And I think it has something to do with that. But I wonder tonight if because it's so everywhere, that maybe that burning passion that Brother Steve was talking about is not dampened by the thickness of the sin of this world. Are we comfortable with sin now? Are we comfortable with it? What used to offend us doesn't even raise an eyebrow anymore. Come on, let's be honest, church. There's things that I know as a young person I was very sensitive to. And the older I have gotten and the more responsibility that has been placed upon me and the more things we've got in the fire, the more I've come to realize I'm not near as sensitive as I was when I was a young person. Because I'm realizing that when I was younger, my mind was less distracted. My heart was less pulled this way and that. I could almost see God about to come in the clouds. I mean, it felt like any moment we got to get out of this place. And now there's so many things that pull against us. Are we really ready? Are we really ready? Church, I'm asking us to search our hearts tonight because God is about to come for people that are ready. A church that is without spot or wrinkle or blemish or anything. God's coming soon. But we've got time to prepare. And I think we also tonight have time to pray. What an awesome thought that He would give you the opportunity tonight, if you don't know Him, the opportunity to pray. Out of almost 7 billion people, Sister Rebecca, I don't think you fumbled that testimony. I think you hit in the hearts of a lot of us in this room that have known the grace of God that changed us from who we are to where we are heading. And we all know we've got faults and failures. Every one of us in this room know how much we seem to fall short. And yet an almighty God who didn't have to laid down His life for you and I and gave us an opportunity to pray. And even tonight I feel Him reaching for someone that would just surrender. Quit pushing Him away. Quit holding back from Him. Quit trying to figure it out on your own. Quit trying to make life work and it always falls short. Let God, who has given you the opportunity to pray, surrender to Him and watch what God does for you in your home. Watch what He does for your life. Watch what He does and makes your heart ready. I'll never forget, and I didn't think about this story beforehand, so if I'm incorrect, Pastor, feel free to correct me. A few years ago, though, we had Friend and Family Sunday, and a lady came to our church and gave her heart to the Lord. And a week later, taken. On the way back to church, 1 week, surrendered her life. And I believe the report was from her family, they had never seen her that happy, free, excited. I'm talking deliverance, true salvation. 1 week later, eternity. What a gracious God. We don't know the day or the hour, and yet God has given you the opportunity tonight to know Him. Listen, life can be altered in one phone call. Life can be changed by one morning or one evening. But we have been given the opportunity tonight to know salvation. And I feel in my heart compelled by God to tell someone, you must take the opportunity given because God has given it specifically to you, a genuine call to change your life. Oh, what a Savior, what a King, what a God, that He would love you enough to reach out for you. Church, I want to ask us tonight if we would do things just differently. I want us to pray tonight. I'm not going to try to do a cliche altar call. I feel the God of heaven calling out to hearts tonight. If you are here and you know in your heart you're not ready, Don't wait on Brother Brian to go down the list of things that are wrong. Run to the altar. We'll pray with you. I've hit my face at the altar many times knowing there were things I needed to take care of. No one will judge you. We all want to make it. I want to be in heaven with you. I want to worship God with you. I want to sing the songs of Zion with you. And if you would come tonight, only you can know. If there's a youth member tonight, only you can know. If there's an adult here tonight, only you can know that you are not right with God. But oh, there's an opportunity tonight to leave this house different. I'm talking a life transforming, power-given transformation that only God can do. Right now, across the house, I want the church to pray and ask God to speak to hearts. If you're not here and you know you're not ready for the return of Christ, I want you to come. You know what? Even if you don't come, I want you to kneel in your pew. You do whatever you have to do to get a hold of God. Right now, wherever you're at, will you pray? Will you surrender your life to Him? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hear the cry of your people. Oh, be gracious, Lord. Reach out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, do you need salvation tonight? Oh, it's so free to you. You don't have to get anything taken care of. You don't got to clean yourself up. You don't have to make your life better before God comes in. No, right now, right here, right where you're at, God wants to change your life. He'll take the backslider. He'll take the one that thinks they can't be saved. Oh, try him. Try Jesus tonight. Try Jesus tonight. If you think you can't be saved, I dare you to try Christ. I dare you to ask Him to change you. I dare you to come to God with a heart of repentance and truly see if He would ever reject you. He won't. Oh, He won't. Is there anyone tonight you want to come? You want to give your life to God? Is there anyone? Oh, maybe you've been raised in this church. We all love you. Amen. We've all been here. We've all been at the place where we've had to make a decision. Yes, go with God or turn away. I want to ask you, will you come? Will you surrender your all to Him? Are you going to let the enemy destroy you? Are you going to let the enemy wreak havoc in your home and in your life? Amen. Someone's coming. Is there anyone else tonight? Oh, is there anyone else tonight? You need God to change your life. Is there anyone? Oh, hallelujah. Church, keep praying. Keep praying. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tonight. If God was to come back, would you be ready? If you were to pass from this life, would you be ready to meet God? We've sang about our destination. We've sang about heaven. Oh, but if we're not ready, there is a destination that we will take. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready for His coming? Oh, sweet Lamb of God, we thank You. Thank You for Your patience, Lord. Hallelujah. Church, let's come find a place to pray. If you're not ready to meet Christ, I want you to come with these. And if you're not willing to come to the altar, but you're willing to pray in your pew right where you're seated, I want you to pray. I want you to call out to God wherever you're at and make sure your heart is ready. Oh, Jesus, where will you be a million years from now? Oh, Jesus.